Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough in a Deep. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and today I want to talk to you about some stuff that I believe is going to be very helpful and empowering to you. I know many of you that listen to our broadcast are Christians, and I know many of you are, you know, struggling day to day and finding, you know, your way, trying to find your identity, trying to find exactly what it is you're called to do in your life, and basically how to make your life easier. And let's just face it, folks. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you believe. Everyone in life is always trying to find, you know, a way to make their life a little easier. You know, I mean, let's just face it, folks. I mean, it's not about the hard times and all the pressure and the stress that people say, hey, bring it on, you know. It's about the times when you just want to find yourself relaxing and chilling and finding yourself at a place where you can spend time with family and friends and maybe go to a movie, maybe go to the conference you've been wanting to go to with your favorite speakers, you know, maybe listen to some music or sit down with I know a lot of ladies love to get in the tub and put candles around it. Hey, I like to do that myself, you know. So everybody's looking for that out, that escape, to just learn to enjoy life. And so I want to talk to you today, give you some points about how to make your life a little easier. And I believe this will really help and empower and benefit every one of you that really want to have a life that's easier to live and fulfilled. You know, Jesus said that he's come to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. And sometimes we tend to forget that our life is called to live an abundance of life. And that abundance of life can represent anything from being healthy, you know, learning to be whole in our lives, you know, bodily and or soulishly. And or many of us maybe feel abundance could be, man, it should be nice to have an abundance of money because I'm struggling here. Or maybe abundance of friends. Or maybe abundance of just joy, an abundance of relaxation, an abundance of having a kind of life where there's always joy in your life and not so much sorrow. You know, I remember 2016, as it passes by us, we saw death after death. I mean, I remember, gosh, you know, in the 80s, I mean, I was a big, you know, 80s music fan. I mean, I listened to 80s, you know, what they consider secular, which I'm not a big secular versus sacred word. I think that's sort of, you know, crazy since the word secular is not even in the Bible. But for lack of a better word, you know, 80s pop music, you know, then I listened to 80s Christian music. You know, I loved it all. But I remember in 2016, we went through, my goodness, folks, I mean, everybody from what David Bowie to George Michael to, gosh, some great actors and actresses. And then towards the end, we saw people like Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what's going on? Is the apocalypse taking place? You know, what is happening here? We saw more deaths take place. And what was the main thing? What was the main thing people wanted to do? Man, I cannot wait to get out of 2016. It just brings this, almost this gloominess to it, you know? I mean, too many deaths. We need to shift. We need to get into a new year where there's not so many doom and gloom and, you know, and people dying, you know? And even though dying's a part of life, let's just face it, folks. No one looks forward to our loved ones or our favorite singers or actors or actresses pass away. And so we want to get into the good life, the good abundance of life. And there's nothing wrong with that because Jesus died that you can have abundance of life. And so all those points I made earlier about what abundance might look like to you, what if we could enjoy all those different areas and genres of abundance? Because God wants us to be a fruitful and multiply and have an abundance of life in all areas of our life. Doesn't mean our lives are perfect, but he wants us to have an easier, but yet also a better equipped, powerful, anointed life. And that's what we all strive for, is it not? Is to live the life Jesus wants us to live in this life to where we can be comfortable, let's just face it, and live a good life and enjoy our lives and have memories to look forward to, while in the midst of that, knowing that, you know, there might be some persecution, trials, and tribulations we deal with and go through, but also through that, understanding that we're here to celebrate Jesus and to let people know the good news of who he is in our lives. And so I want to bring you some points that help us a little bit to make life a little easier in this new year that we've just entered into of 2017. Now, some points I want to bring out to make your life easier, I think will really help each one of you. One of the points I want to bring out is you are waiting for a sign. Now, I want you to hear me out for a moment when I say, you know, many of you are waiting for a sign. I have talked to so many people, most of you actually, who's listening to our broadcast, through life coaching sessions. And through our life coaching sessions, I've heard many of you talk to me about, man, if God would just do this, if God would just give me a sign, if God would just make this happen for me, my life would be better. And I remember talking to an individual just yesterday. And I said, it was a young gentleman, and I said, sir, you know, that was one of his questions. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. You're waiting on God to do something, and yet you know there's other things in your life you would like to be doing, but you can't until that one issue is answered. And I said, is this correct? He said, oh, yeah. I just can't do anything until this one thing is taken care of, because it tends to hold me back on everything else. And I said, hold on a minute. Does it hold you back, or are you holding yourself back? You know, does your life really depend on the answer to one question? You know, and in his situation, it was the fact that he, you know, had a little bit of sickness going on and needed to be, you know, healed from that. But yet all the other things that he was looking forward to doing in his life that was part of that package of the abundance of life, he just set a judgment in his mind to say, I'm not going to do them, and I can't do them until I'm healed. And I understand that we want to press towards the mark, and we want to press towards heaven and say, God, I'm asking you. I'm pleading. I need this in my life. And if not, I feel like I can't go on. Well, first and foremost, let me just answer the question for many of you, and that is this. You don't have to have a sign, folks. You know, get over your signs. Get over your, you know, you're having to, you know, God has to do this, and God's got to bring me a sign in order for me to move out. Folks, let me explain something to you. Many of you are wasting your life. That's right, I said it. Many of you are wasting your life because you're waiting on God to quote-unquote move, and by giving you a sign, by nudging you, by, you know, having to do this and having to do that. And I know your hearts. I know many of you are feel like me, and you're like, I just want to know it's God's will. I want to make sure it's God's will, Jeremy, and I want to make sure that God has given me, you know, a sign and a nudging to do it. And I get that completely. But folks, in the midst of you doing that every day or every week or every month of your life, imagine if you could calculate and add up all the minutes that would turn into hours, that would turn into days of your entire existence of you waiting for a sign, of you waiting for God to nudge you, of you waiting for God to do this before you can do everything else or anything else. And the truth of the matter is, you are wasting your time. You're wasting precious energy, precious life. If He died to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, you are wasting the very thing He died to give you. Think about that. You are wasting substance. Substance that He's given you. Every second that you take a breath is that life that He died to give you. And every second of that day that you decide to sit still, sit back, be stagnant, not, you know, wait, not do anything, but waiting on the Lord. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. And many of you, once again, I've talked to and spoken with in life coaching sessions, I can tell you, and many of you I share this with, you are wasting your time. Now you might say, wait a minute, Jeremy. God said we're supposed to wait on Him. No, He didn't. Here's what He said in His Word. He said, those who wait upon the Lord, He shall renew their strength. Once again, I'll explain this to you. The word wait in the Hebrew means to bind and twist together. Now, once again, in the Hebrew, there's like three or four definitions for the word wait. But waiting does not ever, nor will it ever mean to sit still, be stagnant, do nothing, be non-productive, don't multiply, don't calculate, don't let your mind be full of energetic flow of creativity to do anything. Just sit still, lifeless. That is not the kingdom of God. And if many of you think that's what that word waits, you're moving into something that is totally anti-God. It's not what God's ever required. God always wants you to be energetic in your flow of creativity. He always wants you to be not stagnant, but productive. And that's why He says, be fruitful and multiply. And you might say, well, that means children. No, it doesn't. It means everything in your life. You were created to be energy. Think about it. If we're energy slowed down into matter, then God created us that way. That's not some New Age philosophy. That's some stupid, idiotic religion. No, it's a God-given thing that God created you to be matter energy that is slowed down to be matter, which means your mind is energy. Your thoughts are energy. There's nothing New Age about the word energy. Get over that and grow up, folks. No offense, but it's true. Move into the fact that everything that you do is energetic. Everything you do should be anointed. Something, there should be a flow. Even out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. That alone should give you the idea that you should constantly be flowing energetically, moving with energy, moving with substance, multiplying, producing, bringing forth the harvest. As long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest, which means as long as you're on this earth, you should be planting seed. Planting seed with what, Jeremy? Planting seed with your tithes and offerings, planting seed by giving it to the poor, planting seed feet of the energy of your mind by thinking the thoughts of God. Planting seeds of your words that bring life and death to people. Planting seeds of your handing out your hand by hugging people. I mean, everything in your complete life that is movement should be energetic, flowing in sowing seed. And so when we talk about waiting upon the Lord to do something, let me tell you something. When you're waiting upon the Lord to do something, in other words, in the sense of one thing that you have specifically asked for, if God is not answering you on that one thing, or if God is telling you, you just need to sit still on this thing. He's not telling you to sit still your whole life and do nothing. And if you ever think that God is telling you, don't do anything at all, I want you to sit still, do absolutely nothing, and be a couch potato until I tell you to move, I'm sorry, that's not God. Because there might be one aspect that God is telling you, maybe even two, where God is saying, don't do that. Maybe He's not speaking to you about that subject. Maybe because He just doesn't want you to do it that moment. But the truth of the matter is, you're making your life harder. You're making your life harder on yourself by not doing anything until you get a sign, or you waiting on God to tell you to move. If He's telling you, if you're waiting on God to tell you to move in one area, then the other 99.9% of your life, of the areas of your life, move out in those areas. But the idea to be alive means that we are moving. You can't even be still without your chest going up and down from your breath. So there's no humanly possible to truly be still. Are you with me? Binding and twisting together means those who bind and twist together with the Lord, which means draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you. That means God is telling you, do something, move with energy and movement, and move closer into my presence. Wrap yourself around me, intertwine with me to where you are in me, and even when you're in me, you're living and you're moving. That doesn't sound like being still to me. You're living and you're moving and you're having your being. So God is telling you, go on. Create. Do something with your life. Don't sit back waiting on a sign. If anything, the devil would want you to sit back and wait on some kind of sign. All right? Now then, that makes your life a little easier when you're not sitting back waiting and getting frustrated. Why won't God send me a sign? My question will be this to you. Are you a child being tossed to and fro by everyone of doctrine? Are you a son of God? Have you grown up into maturity? The last time I checked, children are the ones that have to be disciplined and talked to 24/7 and have to be told what to do. Don't touch the stove. Don't do this. Don't do this. Okay, you can do this. Okay, you can have this candy bar if you're good. Adults, folks, come on. When you've grown up, you put away childish things. You don't need a sign. What you need to do is move out by faith and say, unless God stops me, then I'm going to move out in this thing. God loves someone who moves out by faith and doesn't move by sight and doesn't move by a sign and doesn't move by, oh God, I can't do anything until you tell me. No, what you're saying is, God, I am fearful of you and I am so scared that you're going to strike me dead or hit me if I do something wrong. That's fear-based, folks. None of that is God. That is fear-based. God is saying, move out. I mean, if you're truly in Him, your job is to move and live and have your being. And so if you want to be obedient, move out and do something. Do something. Anything. People say, well, I don't know what to do. The idea is to do something. Do anything that you can be able to multiply in or cause to shift into another direction. Open up a door through something else by starting something. I mean, one thing will lead to another, folks. That's just how life flows in the earth. All right? Now then, another point I want to bring to you to make your life a little easier is those who do not take risk. When you do not take a risk, let me tell you something, you are making your life more complicated. When you don't step out by faith, you're not doing anything. You're not moving, you're not living, you're not breathing, because even breath takes a huge step of faith to trust that my chest and my body and my lungs are going to take the next breath. And therefore, if my body moves by faith automatically, that's how much faith you have in your life, folks, is the fact that your faith is literally so strong in you that you have faith to know that your body is going to make it. Your body is going to move, that when you put your legs on the floor from getting up in the morning, automatically your faith says, my legs are going to carry me. So you have such a high, huge level of faith in you. Utilize it, folks. Use that faith. Use it for something else. Use it for all things that you do in your life. I'm a huge risk taker. I mean, walking off my job, starting a ministry, is a big risk, but I did it. And I'm very successful at what I do now. I love my life. I have my vocation, my ministry, my call. And therefore, I don't have to work a job. Because a job is for those who are miserable and don't like it. A vocation is what you go to every day and you love what you're doing. And many of you are in that vocation. And many of you are working a job. If you're working a job and you're miserable, then you know what? Take a risk today. Take a risk. How would you make your life easier? By taking a risk. Because anything's better than maybe the pardon my expression, maybe the hell that you're living in your job, because it's not your life's calling. If you're not your life's calling, folks, take a risk. Make your life easier by taking a risk. Well, it could hurt me financially a little bit, Jeremy, for a couple of weeks or a month. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather take a risk and maybe suffer a little bit financially, maybe for a couple of weeks until you're able to get that vocation, or maybe a month or two, than knowing that the rest of your life you'd be happier? Yeah, absolutely. Don't you? Sometimes you can't think of the now moment, what's going to happen. You have to think longevity-wise. Down the road of is the rest of my years going to be happier if I do this? Sure they are. Absolutely they are. Life without risk, folks, is a life not worth living. And I want you to write that down. Life without risk is just a life not worth living. And it's not. God has summoned us, called us, before time ever began, to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is so important that even God even said that it is dealt to every single man, the measure of faith. Which means everybody, Buddhists, Muslims, Hindus, those people you can't stand, those enemies that you don't like down the street, those neighbors that you're wondering why, you just wish they would move, you know? Guess what? God loves them enough that He even told in His Word, He said, I've given every man the measure of faith. Even those people have the measure of grace of faith of God. The grace that I call that has been graced on them with the faith of God. That's how much God loves the universe and God loves His creation. That He would give all people the measure of faith. So if all people have the measure of faith, my question would be this. Here you are calling yourself the Son of a living God, loving to bind and loose, and you're loving to scream Jesus loud. But yet, if you're not a risk taker, then you know what? Here's what you need to do. If you're not a risk taker, then you are mocking the name of Christ. Yes, right, I said it. You're mocking the name of Christ because Christ is the biggest risk taker. He came to earth in the form of a man, and He knew in His life there was going to be opposition. He knew that he would, the moment He decreed and declared that He was the Son of God, the moment that He did His first miracle, the moment He turned water into wine, the moment He did all these miraculous things, He knew, man, I got to be a risk taker here. I could get killed for this stuff, you know? But His mission and His call was greater than what He thought, than what the people thought about Him. But He knew that He represented something that was going to be a shift in the earth, and that paradigm shift in the earth had to be come through only taking risk. And so if you claim the name of Jesus today, and yet you're comfortable and never taking a risk in your life, you need to just find yourself another faith. No offense, folks, but it's true. And I'm blunt about that because Jesus was a risk taker. Don't tell me you're a Christian, but yet you're scared to make a move. You're scared to walk off your job and get a new job and to get the vocation you want. You're nervous and scared about, you know, driving down the street alone. Come on, folks. I know people that are petrified to drive in a city. I know people who are petrified to get out and you know, in big crowds of people. No way. If the Son sets you free, you free indeed. If you claim Jesus, claim Him. Claim all that He's done for you. If not, don't claim Him at all. I mean, that's the truth of the matter, folks, because I'm here to push you off the edge. I'm here to push you off that comfortable ground you've been standing on. Get in the boat and go to the other side. You're called to do that. Don't claim Jesus if you're not willing to live Jesus. Amen? Don't claim the most famous risk taker ever if you're not willing to take that risk with Him. Alright? Because your life deserves, if you truly honor your life, then you know what? You deserve to take risk. You deserve to change your atmosphere. If you don't like it, you deserve that. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself to say, my life's not supposed to be this way. I'm changing it. I always tell people this. If you let your life rule you and run you over, that's what it's going to do. If you let your life rule you, it will run you over. If you decide that you're the master of your life. Now, once again, we know, yes, the old saying, he's the captain, and we get that completely. He is. Jesus is in charge. God is in charge of all of our lives. But the truth of the matter is, folks, God has given you a life, and you're in charge of that life. And if you're not the master of your life, life is not here to run you. You are here to run life. Are you with me? Because he died to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. He's given you life. God has given you abundance of life. That means if I give you something, it is now yours. You have been given life. You were not given to life. Life was given to you. Are you with me? Let's say that again. You were not given to life. Life was given to you. You're the master with the architectural design and creativity of your life. If you don't like life, don't let life run you over. Don't let life bully you. You take control of that bully and you say, you know what? You're going to do what I tell you to do, and this is how you're going to do it. All right? Now, one of the other things I want you to remember as far as making your life easier is quit constantly trying to compare yourself to everyone else. Listen to me now. Quit trying to compare yourself to everyone else. I know of people in all different places in their life that if they are sinner saint, if they are black or white, if they are in church or not at church, it doesn't matter what religion they are or who they are. It's across the board. People love to compare themselves. People love to keep up with the Joneses. People want to make sure that if they see Benny Hinn, if they see Paula White, if they see, Patricia King, if they see me, if they see anyone that maybe is their mentor, or they feel is anointed of God, or maybe they're on TV, or they have a radio broadcast, or an international ministry. Identity Network is international. Jeremy's got all these courses and books out. And all of a sudden, their mind alludes to the fact, I can be like that. I can do that. If he can do it, I can do it. Here's the truth of the matter, folks. You're not called to be me or anyone else. It doesn't matter how many things I have out or how many things I've done. There will always be someone out there that has done greater than what I have done. Are you with me? And just because the idea is not if they can do it, I can do it. That's not the approach. People will tell you, hey, you know what? If they did it, you can do it too. That's not the way you need to look at life. Because you should never look at life and say, well, if they did it, I know I can do it. No. What I would ask of you is, what does your life require? It doesn't matter. When you're dealing with living the abundance of life, it doesn't mean, it doesn't house the effect of, or the attitude of quantity, it deals with quality. So your life is not about how much quantity in comparison of everyone else you should or should not have. It doesn't matter. If you write one book and God wants you to write one book, write it well. Write it with the best quality you've ever in your life thought about. If you're called maybe to own your own business, let it be the best business you've ever had. Don't feel like, well, if they've got one book out, I can do 10. If they've got one business, I can do 5 businesses. It doesn't matter. If you are doing that, you are living a life that will ultimately lead you up to failure, and you will set yourself up to be one of the biggest disappointments ever, because you will always, in your entire life, have people that will do things better than you. And the truth of the matter is, I know people can do certain things better than me. And you know what? Praise God. I am so glad for them. But to be honest with you, I don't care. I don't care what other people think about me. You know, there's been people in the past. I mean, I have spoken in conferences and churches all over the globe because I love to speak. I love to bring, people a warm feeling of knowing who God is in their life and what prophecy does. And when I say, thus saith the Lord, to be able to speak the word of the Lord to people is a blessing, and it's an honor, and it excites me. I love ministering to things that God has laid upon my heart to people. But the truth of the matter is, folks, there will always be people that can outdo me, and there's people I can outdo. But the truth is, I don't care. It doesn't bother me, because I don't live my life based on what other people do or have or how better or how worse they are. For me, I want to live the life God's given me. And that is what? Working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's not about a heaven or hell situation. It's about working my lifestyle out with fear and trembling. Working out my vocation with fear and trembling. Which means I'm working out this this thing called Jeremy. I'm called to work out that thing. This thing, this amazing creation called Jeremy. And that's what I'm working out. And whatever it is required of me to do, that I'm going to do that and do it well. And do it with quality. Do it the way God has initiated for me to do it. That way I stay clear of what everyone else is able to do and can't do and should do and won't do and does better and does worse and does less. That's all of that means nothing to me. What matters is working out my life and being the very best at Jeremy Lopez. My concern for me is being the very best Jeremy I can ever be, because there's only one of me. And if I do that with quality, I'll be a world changer. It might not be an international world, which in my case, it is an international, you know, for me, because that's what I'm called to do. But what's more important to me, and I want you to hear me out closely, folks, one of the things in the charismatic move that we have discussed, that actually has made it disgusting, and that is this. We have discussed for so long that you're international, and you're international, and you're international, and we've turned giant into people that did not need to focus on the external aspect of their life to feel as if everything has got to be externally wonderful in the sense of international and traveling the world. None of that qualifies the fact that you're living your life. Because if you're not called to be that, what's more important is living the international aspects of your sphere of influence. Which means living and fulfilling every aspect of your sphere of influence, Metron, every aspect of your entire life style that God's given you. When you have fulfilled the entire style of your life, that, my friend, is international. International would be filling to the capacity, the style, and the life of your sphere of influence to where you have filled it up and you have completed it and you've done it well. That's what you're called to do and be, folks. And that's the greatest thing, greatest honor we could ever do. And if you're doing it, and I'm doing it, and whether mine might reflect externally, and yours might reflect maybe internally, not talking about internally inside of you, but internally as far as maybe your city, your community, your church, or your job, whatever it is your sphere of influence is, you fulfill that role and do it well with quality, and I'm doing my internal and external with quality, guess what happens? Then all of us, guess what, we'll see the world begin to come to a place of joy and peace, and we'll begin to see people fulfill their destinies and the roles that God has called them to. Because if one does it, it causes a flame of fire to spark in other people by just witnessing, seeing what their life is doing. And that's a great thing I love about it, is just learning to realize that some things are caught rather than taught. And the truth of the matter is, my life has always been that I have caught things more from people as far as hearing what they've said, hearing their responses, hearing them talk to people, watching their life of how they do stuff, and then learning in my own personal life what it would be for me. That doesn't include what they've done, but what does it look like for me? And guess what? I began to create my own master plan with the Holy Spirit breathing over it to see and to know my own original thumbprint and to live that thumbprint out. My life is called to live my thumbprint out, not someone else's. That's why, you know what, when you do crime, and what does it say? You do crime, you do the time. When you do crime and they take you down to the police station and they book you or whatever, you know what, you've seen these TV shows, CSI, you know, and they take your thumbprint. Because they know they can recognize, that thumbprint is going to be yours. And so, you know what, when they want to track you down, they're looking for that thumbprint. They look for what it is that is unique and original to you. That's why it's so important to know your own thumbprint and live that thumbprint well in your life. Now then, as I come to a close, I'm gonna stop with one more little thing about learning how to live your life well, and that is this. All right, and this will minister to you. You know, I love this because it's going to sound a little funny, but you fast forward to what we call the apocalypse. You've got to learn to quit fast forwarding to the end of the situation. You know, living your life to the end of the situation will always cause you to fail every single time. You're not called to be so concerned with the outcome. You're called to live on the first step you're on and master that step. And then when you're done with that, God will take you to a new level of glory. You'll go to the next step. You'll master that step. Then you'll master the next step. Because when you're ready, God knows when you're ready. Because when you have expanded your conscious mind and your spirit man to master that level, that all of a sudden you'll begin to hunger and thirst for something more after that. And then you'll master that stage and master that stage, and you'll go from glory to glory. But when you look at the outcome down the road, it will never be what it really is going to turn out to look like. Never. And so today, try to forget about the apocalypse. Try to forget about the last day of your life, the last effects of the outcome, the last stages. None of that matters. What matters is this precious, wonderful now moment of living the life in the now and accomplishing and mastering and bringing quality to right now, being a risk taker, learning to flow in your life and know that, you know what, I'm here in my now moment, and right now I have the power to change. I have the power to change me and change my life and create what it is I need to create in my life. So let me also just throw this in there today, in this teaching, is I want each one of you to go to our website, identitynetwork.net. And here's why. Two reasons why. I just released a brand new teaching that has taken the market by storm, and that is learning to attract the right people in your life. Learning to attract the right people in your life. We have sold so many of those teachings as digital downloads. It's about an hour teaching, but it will help you to shift your life and attract the right, healthy, correct people that you want and you need in your life. And so get that teaching today. Second thing, become a partner with me. If you go to the website on identitynetwork.net, you will see where it says partner with Jeremy Lopez. For just $10 a month, you can partner with me, which means the first week of every month, you will automatically receive a teaching download, which will be about 40 minutes, 45 minutes to an hour, to automatically teaching download that will automatically be sent to your email. So the first week of every month, you can look in your email and you'll automatically get one of my brand new teachings that sometimes have not even been released to the public. And it's going to be a teaching that will be in-depth, revelatory, that will change your life. We've had people who have been on the program for years and said, there's no way I'm ever going to get off of it, Jeremy. I receive your monthly teaching that gives me an hour packed full of revelation, an hour packed full of substance that I can get my hands on and do something with. And that's what I want to do, is motivate you, but then give you the actual hands-on to know how to master the things in your life that need to be mastered. So each one of you, go to our website, get that teaching, learning to attract the right people in your life, and you can download it right then and there for just $6.99. And also click on that partner with Jeremy Lopez, and for $10 a month, you'll get that. You'll get teachings like that the first week of every month, automatically sent to your email. So God bless each one of you. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast. Until next time, go and make your life count for something.